fresh word into our spirit, that we might indeed know that you are God and you are able. Remove me or anything in me that prevents your people from hearing and sensing your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Give God some more praise this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read before Jan plays a song and gets us to meditate on what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to read from Philippians 4, and I will be reading from verses 4 through 8, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, and then Jan is going to play a piece for me. So please stand as we, in reverence to the word of God, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, and I'm going to start with reading from the NIV version. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You may be seated. All right, Janet, can you show that, please? I want to talk this morning as we think about the words of the song and what's on the screen. Don't worry, rejoice. Don't worry, rejoice. You got to go to the next slide for the music. Okay. All right. My wife is doing this, so that's not a good sign. All right. All right. As they prepare, if they're able to pull it up, that's fine. There are so many reasons to worry today. There are so many people who are anxious and nervous because of the current climate in our country. When I went to the doctors, they said that people are coming in and they're stressed out and they're depressed of the climate that we're living in. Many of you may not believe that in this current climate that it is even possible for someone to really have peace. How many of you believe that peace is possible? Turn to your neighbor and say, peace is possible. There are so many folk who are being tranquilized trying to find peace. There are so many folk who are smoking weed trying to find. Can I just be real today? Amen. We have a friend who's out in California, and he went to college, but he's not going to graduate school because he's found out growing weed is quite profitable. Come on, somebody. He say counting money so fast he don't know what to do with it. We're trying to find ways in which we can find peace. We're trying to find ways in which I think when you are high all the time or drunk all the time or whatever you're doing all the time other than giving it to God, you are trying to find a ways to blunt reality, because when you are spaced out, when you are, I don't know, weed out, it ain't a word. When you high as a kite, amen, or drunk, whatever it is, you're trying to blunt reality. I want y'all to know, you know, it's not just the down and out who are doing it. It's the up and out, too, because if you've achieved success, you get there and realize it's not the joy, it's not the peace, it's not the happiness you thought. So they, too, are high. They, too, are cocaine, and they, too, are on something. But how many of you know that there is a way to have peace? What they were trying to play today, which is not going to work. Now, we went through this a million times. It worked fine before y'all were here. Amen. What they were trying to play is Louis Armstrong's song, It's a Beautiful World. And the language is, I see trees and flowers. What a wonderful world. I might as well add my own since it's not working. Yeah. That wasn't planned, but since we don't have the sound. And I said to myself, you know that's one of my favorite songs, so I practiced that. While we were going to play the song, I was going to have up all of the injustices in the world, slavery for over 200 years, Holocaust, millions of people put into an oven, poverty with the wealth of this world, injustice, the Flint, Michigan crisis, mass incarceration, shooting of unarmed men that has become the norm. We all right. All right, let's relax and enjoy it. Turn it up. Since they went through all of that to play it, let's play it anyway. Oh, my God.
I see trees of green.
Can you turn it up a little bit if you can?
I see them blue.
All right.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me.
As you're thinking about those beautiful and words, think about the injustices in the world.
What a wonderful
from slavery
world.
To the Holocaust in every form.
The bright blessed day,
the Flint water crisis,
and I think to myself,
mass incarceration,
what a wonderful world,
and the unending shooting of people of color who are unarmed.
The colors of the rainbow,
you go through your own list,
so pretty in the sky,
of things that should not be,
also on the faces.
And I want us to think about, we can phase that out. I want us to think about Louis Armstrong's song, you know, It's a Beautiful World. Is there a contradiction in what he's singing about in our reality on the ground? And is it possible in a world with so much injustice to have peace? I've been thinking about the state of our world today, and I am baffled by how we got here. It seems like history is repeating itself. And I'm baffled about, as some of you have heard me say, really the diabolical plot to dehumanize a race or people of color. You know, you guys know my background. For the visitors, I won't bore you today, but even though I'm a pastor, a former prosecutor, a parent, there are folk, because of the color of my skin, who look at me as though I am a predator. And I wonder, you know, how do we get here? And in my few days off last week, there are a few things that God said to me clearly. In my devotion, when they were when I was studying the kings of the Old Testament and they had evil rulers, in one of my devotions, it said that evil in any form contains within it the seeds for its own destruction. And I shouted, I say, thank you, God. I want to say that again. Evil in any form contains within it seeds for its own destruction. So in time, God is going to bring the evil to its rightful end. How many of you know that's good news today? I was so happy as you study the evil rulers of the past, we did find that in due time, God brought them to their own destruction. The other thing that God has said to me is that I don't understand how the Christian church in the climate that we're living in can be complicit with racism and complicit with treating people of color the way that they do. And what I'm baffled by in that regard is how my brothers and sisters who are not of color, how they read 1 John, the fourth chapter. And Janet, can you put that one up? 1 John, the fourth chapter, the 20th verse, reads as follows. And I'm having a problem myself. 1 John, the fourth chapter, the 20th verse says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. And we got good Christian folk who are hating folk who don't look like them and claim they love God. This makes no sense to me, but this is where we are. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother and sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So I'm processing how folk can treat folk who don't look like them the way that they are looking at them. I'm processing why folk hate us because this is the body and the color God put us in. That makes no sense to me. There is a diabolical plot to dehumanize folk of color. And the church has been complicit. And I'm praying that God will wake us up. The last thing God said to me, not only does evil have seeds for its own destruction, not only that I'm right on the money, that there's no way that folks say who say they love God really love God when they hate other folk. But the last thing he said to me, some folk just some folk just will not change. And what he said is, don't worry. Because some folk are on a joy ride to hell. I'm going to say that again. He said, you know what? Don't get bogged down. Some folks will not change, but don't worry, King. They're on a joy ride to hell. In other words, they may have cars and boats and money and jobs, but they better enjoy this life. And they may shout and dance all through this life, but he say, don't worry. They just on a joy ride. Right to hell. How did I get from that pretty music to this? Amen. Because Paul is writing to the Philippians from prison. And yet in Philippians, he mentions joy or rejoicing 16 times. So we know that the joy and rejoicing that Paul is talking about today is independent from outside circumstances. Come on, somebody. And so if you want to resist losing your mind in this crazy, mixed up world, then we need to listen to Paul. We need to stop allowing stuff on the outside, that some of which we can't control, to steal our joy, to steal our peace, to have us turning to weed, to have us blunt and in despair and defeated. If you don't get your mind around where Paul was talking about, you will lose your mind. Somebody say, turn to your neighbor and say, but there's good news. Turn to your other neighbor and say, don't worry. Rejoice. Paul says to us this morning from Philippians 4, if you're not going to worry and rejoice despite of the insanity of our situation in this country and the world, the first thing that Paul says in verse 1 is that we have to stand firm in the Lord. If you're going to keep your sanity in a crazy world, you're not making this stuff up. You are being rejected. You are being devalued. You are in danger. You always have been slighted. But if you're going to keep your mind, and better than that, if you're going to show the world, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If you're going to give him glory in the midst of the pressure, Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Philippians 1 says, I love and long for my joy and my crown. Stand firm in the Lord always. What is standing firm in the Lord? I believe standing firm in the Lord is telling God, asking God to, yes, explain what's going on, but he hasn't told me yet. But I know as I stand firm in the Lord, I've been saved, I've been redeemed, I've been delivered. And when this life is over, I'm going to wear a crown. Standing firm in the Lord also means, Paul says, that we are always mindful that the Lord is near. Look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I'm standing firm. I'm standing firm even though you are looking at me, a pastor, a prosecutor, a parent, like I'm a predator. I'm standing firm even though your fear of me is irrational. I'm standing firm even though I see the injustices with our young folk. I'm standing firm even though I know the employment is not fair, the housing is not fair, the credit is not fair. I'm standing firm in the Lord because even though I don't know what God is doing, I know he's near. I know God loves me. I don't know why he put me in this body. You know, they had a survey on the singles.com, and they said that the two least hits on the singles.com, I don't want to frustrate anybody, but I just heard this, is African-American women and Asian men. That's who gets the less hits. And this one African-American woman started a blog called Messy Existence. And what she was saying, that this body that God has put me in has caused my very existence to be messy. I mean, you know, being black is messy. Came over here as a slave. We had to go through, to just be here, we had to go through slavery, then Jim Crow, then had to fight what they say is a basic right to vote. Messy. But because our existence is messy, y'all know I've been processing this stuff now. Because our existence is messy, we don't look at faith academically only. In other words, my messy existence keeps me on my knees. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Somebody say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Not only is Paul saying if you're going to have any sense of not worrying and staying up all night, that you need to stand firm in the Lord and know that he's near. Somebody say he's near. The other thing that hit me and had me crying last week, when I was reading this text, he says, yes, pray. That's the other thing. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray. But the thing that got me was he said, pray with thanksgiving. If you're going to have peace in this crazy, messy world, you need to pray. But you know what? It's not just praying. He said to me, you can complain all you want. And what you complain about might be true. But you ought to pray with thanksgiving, because I still am keeping you. I still got strength in your body. You're still in your right mind. You still know that I'm God. You still have a consciousness of my love. You still know that you've been redeemed. You've been justified. You've been set free. And there's a joy that the world can't take away. Don't worry. Stand firm in the Lord. Don't worry. Pray about everything, but thank God. Thank God I'm not a slave. Thank God my women can't just be raped and beat and lynched and castrated. Thank God that every now and then we see justice in the system. Thank God. More. We need to thank God more. There are folk in this world that would love our problems. You think you got racial problems in this world. There are folk in other countries that just want a drop of water. There are folk in other countries who want food to eat. There are folk in other countries who don't have a house. There are folk in other countries still dying of diseases. You can go to the hospital. You can go to a food line. Thank God. Thank God things are as well as they are. Give God thanks this morning. Bless your name. Things have been worse even in this country. So don't sit there saying, woe is me. They're not what we want it to be. But thank God. There's nobody in here who won't leave here today and have something to eat. There's nobody in here who won't leave here today and have somewhere to sleep. There's nobody in here who won't leave here today and have somebody who won't give them a hug. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Somebody ought to say, thank you, God. If you're going to not worry in this crazy world and rejoice, remember to stand firm in the Lord. God knows what he's doing. Despite what folks think, God decided to put us in these bodies. Despite what folks think, God made us just like he wanted us to be. And I'm going to stand in that reality because he's near. Not only am I going to stand in reality of just how he made us, I'm going to give him thanks. In everything, give God thanks. And lastly, if you're going to rejoice and not worry, you've got to have a praiseworthy life. You've got to have a praiseworthy life. He says to us in verse 7, and the peace of God, somebody say the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You ever had storms in your life and God still gave you peace? It's the story of the bird who was tucked in the in the midst of the storm. It's craziness all around, but he's right there standing in the peace of God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcend all understanding. Folks are wondering, how can we, you know, if this world, if this life is so easy like folks say it is, I wish God would just do a flip. Everybody would think we get treated well. See, if I was God, that's what I would do. Okay. You think black folks don't have no problem? Bloop. They'd be like, let me out of here. Let me out of here. I just wish. Y'all glad I ain't God, because I'll help them to see it in a minute. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Praiseworthy living means you can't dwell on all of the negativity and think you're going to have peace. So verse 8 says, invites us to a praiseworthy life. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. I could stay there all day. If we just embrace truth about everything, the truth will set us free. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. You can't look at ugliness all yard. You got to look at the flowers. You got to look at the water. You got to look at the sky. You got to look at the sun. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, underline that in your Bible, or praiseworthy, think about such things. Yes. We've got to quit looking at garbage and listening to garbage all of our lives. We've got to get away from wretched living and wretched thinking. We've got to live praiseworthy lives. Because God is good. And even in the midst of this fallen world, God is still good. What am I saying? I'm trying to equip y'all to deal with life as it is. And the reality is, you can still have peace. Because some folk, God giving them a chance. But they on the joyride right to hell. So they better... Because they better get their little wave in and everything else. Because that's where they're headed. But for us, and this is all Christians, no matter what you're going through, Paul says have joy even though he was in prison. Because he was like, you know what, my all the circumstances don't change my joy. Because I am going to stand firm in the Lord. Because I know he's near. Paul says to us, not only is he near, I'm going to give him thanks as I pray. And I'm going to think of those praiseworthy things. My brothers and sisters, today, as we stand in this crazy world, I invite you and encourage you to continue to stand firm in the Lord and quit worrying. When this life is over, some songwriter wrote, I will wear a crown. I believe Paul, in writing this letter, was really protesting despair and defeat and depression. He was letting them know and us know that you can still have joy when those outer circumstances are all messed up. And I believe if you listen to him today, you will find the peace that I have found. And I'm not asking that you just put your head in the sand. I'm asking that you keep your eyes stayed on him. I'm going to give you three scriptures. I gave you 1 John 4, 20 and 21. But the other thing I'm going to give you is 1 Peter 5 and 7. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So the next time you want to take a hit, y'all don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Say, God, I'm going to cast that on you. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And so if you want to overcome naturally and spiritually your worry, y'all heard what I said, right? Then you need to keep your mind stayed on him. I'm asking that we not just pray and do nothing, but by your joy, by your service, by your love, by your forgiveness, you resist evil. I'm going to show a clip. I'm scared. We're going to try to show a clip. Jenny, let's try it. This creative Beyonce, it's a video called Formation. Many of you may have seen it, but it was her creative genius after Katrina. And there's a clip at the end that I really want you to see. Let's see if it works. It's not going to work. All right. Can you put the picture up of the boy? Nothing, huh? All right. It is what it is. Come on, Moriah. So at the end of the clip, go back. Well, I shouldn't ask y'all to do see the video on YouTube, because they have a clean version and a not clean version. But it's called Formation. At the end of it, it's all about Katrina. There's a boy dancing in front of a police line, and he's breakdancing and all this stuff. And the thought that I want you to keep in your mind is that joy and creativity is an act of resistance. And that's what that image is of this boy dancing with the police, is that I don't want you to do nothing. I want you to be joyful in the midst of injustice. I want you to dance in the midst of what you think is wrong, because sitting back in despair is not an option. Jennings wrote this from Yale. Joy is an act of resistance. So still give God praise. Still bless his holy name. Still thank him. And your spirit will fight back that way. Come on, let's give God praise. As we stand to our feet, the doors of the church are open. Hymn number 285, I Will Trust in the Lord. If you're here today, as we open up the doors of the church, I invite you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today,